Blog Talk Radio.
Ken, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good, good. You want a speakerphone?
No.
No, because there's some delay. Are you on a regular? You on a regular landline?
I'm on a landline. Yes.
Yeah. There's a slight delay, but that's okay. No problem. No problem. So Adrian will be up in just a few minutes. Just hang in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang in.
Going to hear the lady yet?
Oh, it's all done.
Done.
Be ready when you're ready.
Okay, hi, thank you so much.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Joe. Good, I'm very good. What I wanted to ask you, just because we did our prep and everything, was exactly how you wanted to be introduced. Oh, I got it right here. Okay. Ferdinando, is that the right way to say your last name?
Ferdinando.
Ferdinando. Okay, very good.
Ferdinando.
And you're the CFO.
CFO,
Ferdinando.
Yeah.
Right, and the CFO and founder, too, right, of Joe Junk?
I started the business, yes.
Good. Sue? We're ready. So he's going to test music. And we'll go ahead, go test it. And the first basic question, however it comes out of my mouth, is really what we talked about before, and that is, how'd you get into the business? Because I want them to, you know, kind of relate it to the fact that you were a CPA. This isn't just, there was nothing else for me to do in life, so I decided to do this, you know. And I think that may be true of many people in your business. So I want them to realize that, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So now we have 10 seconds of silence. You'll hear music. I'll introduce the whole show. I'll introduce you, and we'll rock and roll. Okay, Sue, we're ready. We're going to be quiet now.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And every single week for the past, I used to say 4 years, it's going on 5 years, I am with all of you to talk about successful aging in all of its permutations and all of its aspects. And as we get older, there's one thing we often say, well, we don't have enough of this or enough of that. Well, there's one area in our life that we have too much of, and that is stuff. Last night, and this is absolutely true, I was at our local library. I was at a lecture being given on how to downsize, how to get rid of your stuff. They had to close the doors. There were so many people who came to hear this. It was part of their major life concern, and was called The Kids Don't Want It. Well, you may have seen trucks in your area, because I'm talking to you from all over the country. You may see ads. You may hear something on the radio. There are businesses that will come and take away your stuff. Well, what should you use them? Who's behind these businesses? Is it safe? What does it cost? Is it going to live up? What about the good stuff you have that you perhaps would like donated? What's it all about? And what happens if it's not your stuff? It's your mom or your dad's stuff. How sensitive is it to say, hey, we got to trash it? Well, we have an expert. We have the CFO of a very, very well-regarded company in the Northeast, and it's called Joe Junk. Right in your face. It's called Joe Junk, and he is CFO. His name is Ken Fernando, and he founded the company, and he's here to answer my questions, and by answering my questions, he's answering your questions. So, Ken, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with that. Who's behind this? I mean, Ken Fernando, you call yourself Joe Junk, but how did it happen that you got into this business of taking people's stuff and getting rid of it for them?
Well, it actually started about 4 years ago, and I'm actually the CFO of a larger company, and we were looking to diversify operations, and we looked into a lot of different businesses, and we liked the model, the business model of the junk removal business. It seemed like a perfect fit for us. We had a customer base of over 25,000 customers. We were already in homes doing HVAC, fuel oil delivery. We did plumbing and water treatment, and we did swimming pool services. So we had a nice customer base. We were already in people's homes. We were a business that had been around about 75 years. We're a family business. And, again, it just seemed like a perfect fit for us. It was another service that we could offer our customers. And it's taken off from there. You know, we subsequently went from our customer base to working with realtors and banks and property managers and estate sale companies and so on. So it really was a perfect fit for us.
Yep. I want to bring out that Ken told me that he was a CPA, and there's a reason that I'm bringing this out to all of you. You may have the notion that because baby boomers are just now retiring and because you're just now seeing, let's say in the past few years, this need, these companies that come to you and say, we'll come into your home, we'll take away everything. You just point, and it'll disappear. You got to watch out. Look for a company like Joe Junk, that where the people behind it, the founders of it, really have been in business for a very, very long time. It just, they didn't wake up in the morning and decide, hey, this is a lucrative thing to do, and go and begin to do this and say that they're in this business. It's very rare to find a Joe Junk type of business that's more than 5 or 6 years old because of us, because we're first bringing this need into the marketplace. So these businesses are generally new. But what were they doing before? And that's a question that very few people ask when they look around to see. All they want to know is, what is it going to cost me? You know, now, let me ask that. Without numbers necessarily, I know it kind of goes by the load. So can you explain to people what they might expect from cost? As I understand it, the way Joe Junk works, it more or less has to do with how much stuff you're talking about.
Exactly, Adrian. We charge by volume. We have a 15-cubic-yard dumpster, and or a dump truck, I should say. And I know that's a little hard for people to understand, but think of a parking space that's maybe 10 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 6 feet high. That would be equivalent to 15 cubic yards. And again, we charge by volume, by how much we fill up our truck. We try to break down everything as much as possible. So let's say you have some furniture that's not in a donatable state. Okay. Instead of putting a table in our truck, we'll cut off the legs so it takes up less space. So there's really has a lot to do with the packing of the items. Obviously, the better you pack, the more you get in, the bigger bang for the buck the customer gets. But to answer your question, it's basically based on volume by how much we fill up our truck. And again, we
Now the bad news. There are some things that you cannot by law take. Now, because we're in 8 different states, and different counties, and within each state there's many different counties. I would suggest to all the listeners to perhaps call the county and find out, or their township in my case, is there anything that they can't just dispose of this way. But most professional removers will know. So in your case, this is kind of similar most nationwide. What can't you take so people know how they have to dispose of it differently?
It is very similar in most states. And we can't take paint. We can't take anything that has gas or oil in it, any kind of chemicals, like for pesticides, things like that, obviously any medical waste and any dead batteries. Other than that, we pretty much can take anything. We, again, recycle responsibly electronics and so on. So we can take electronics. We can take tires as long as they're dealt with responsibly and how they should be.
I do want to talk for a moment, although this is not the major reason that most of the listeners need to downsize. One reason is construction. They have construction stuff, maybe even bags of asbestos or that. Can you take construction items?
We can take construction items. Asbestos, we cannot take. That should be dealt with separately. There are special companies who handle asbestos, and typically a junk removal company like us does not handle asbestos. But as far as sheetrock, as far as wood, cement, anything else related to construction, we certainly can take.
Now let's go to the jugular here. And that before we get to the world of, leave the world of what does it cost, I want to talk a moment about time. One of the big issues, and I had this personally, so I dwelled on a little bit, is that most people don't know what they have. Everything is all piled up. Particularly, and we'll talk about this in another segment, if they're working for someone else like their mom or dad. They're not even familiar with the territory. But many people, most people, everything's in the garage or everything is in the basement, has been for years, might be in a box, they don't even know what's in there. Is it appropriate to ask the removal professional, I'm going to call them, to help you just look through it? And if it's time-consuming, will it cost extra? What's the scoop on how much you can push that particular issue?
Well, we try to help as much as possible. Obviously, we don't want our guy standing around while someone is sorting through it, but it's not unusual for someone to not be able to get to an item because it's covered up by other items and not even realize what's there until those other items are taken away. So as long as it's done in a timely fashion, we have no problem with helping the person sort through what they have, going through boxes. And, obviously they probably haven't seen some of this stuff in years. They don't know what it is. And as long as there's cooperation on both sides, we really don't have a problem with helping them sort out through items.
Yeah, now, we have about a minute left to this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about some more of the emotional issues that have to do with this. But I want to talk about one more practical thing quickly, and that is safety. People will come to your home. And when you hire people to do this, what do you look for in the people you hire?
Well, one thing that is a positive is people who've had experience in the moving business because they know their ways in and out of a house. They know how to angle items out of a house so they're not banging in doors and so on. And obviously that's a big plus. But the most important thing is customer service. We want friendly, courteous people. Again, you're dealing with people who have a big emotional attachment to some of the things that are being taken away. And, our guys understand that. And I think above all, that's the most important thing is to realize that you're taking away something that someone had in their house for maybe 50 years. And, be sensitive to that fact.
Well, this is wonderful, and I think this is what people want to hear and need to know. When we come back, we're going to talk about just that issue. We're going to talk about the sensitivity that you may feel. Why is it so hard? One of the things that people have told me is they've finally gotten to the stage of getting rid of their stuff. And they call two or three times because they can't get rid of it all at the same time. That emotion. We'll be right back.
Not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, we're off the air. You see how it goes?
Yeah. Okay.
Real easy, right?
Yep.
Okay, so now, of course, we'll get into the emotionality part, and this is also after that. Maybe in this segment we'll get to what if it's for mom or dad, okay?
Okay.
All right, now Stuart has to reboot the music and so on. So anyway, I thank you again for doing this so quickly. Usually we're here for hours, you know, after the show, but this is the one case where he has to scoot out. I did go to this, while he's doing it, they hunted in library. There was a guy who appraises, and he buys. And I forgot his name. It was a big, long name, like Ivanovich, I wonder. Bet you would know him if I had the right name.
Yeah.
But
I wish you would have known. I would have loved to come and speak at that.
Well, you can. If you call Hunter, it has nothing to do with me. I was in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you call Hunterdon Library, they set up speaking engagements. I've spoken there on finance for retirees.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. And they were pretty generous in letting him sell his business. They didn't let me, you know, say too much about getting clients, but they let him say how much he charges and everything.
Right.
He was very good, by the way. He did impart a lot of information.
So Hunterdon Library does things on aging like this all the time?
Well, it wasn't on aging. That particular case was how to get rid of your stuff. It was your topic.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But for me, it
was surprised they didn't have somebody like a junk removal company there.
Because it wasn't a panel.
Mm-hmm.
It was just him.
He got it.
So they have programs. This is something I do all the time. I call the library and ask for their program director. I've done it in Morristown, everywhere, and Maplewood, and they have a schedule. And if they think it's an interesting topic, if they don't think it's an interesting topic, send them a copy of the show. They'll think it's an interesting topic.
Good.
We're ready. Okay, 10 seconds. He's rebooting.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg with a little frog in her throat. Everything will be fine. And this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Okay, as we go into our fifth year, I go into my 70th. Yes, this was my birthday week. And you can see we're going to be posting some fun pictures. I had a terrific celebration, and I did celebrate, and you should too, these big events, and I'm going to be doing so. Here's my joke. I got to get it out. Forgive me. Do not turn off. I'm going to Egypt. This is true. I'm going to Egypt next week. So I am both in denial and on denial. Okay, I did it. That was my birthday present to myself. And today we have with us Ken Fernando, and he is the CFO of Joe Junk. And I know that 20 years ago you wouldn't even have been interested in what I'm talking about, and now you're hanging on every word. Why? Because we're getting to that age where we have to get rid of our stuff, and some of it is just not walking out the door. Some of it we can't even get Habitat for Humanity to get rid of, plus it's a very emotional issue. And we don't get to it. I cannot tell you how many of my private financial clients, just last night, she said to me she's a hoarder. Now, she's really not, because that's an actual diagnosis. But I knew what she meant. She had kept a lot of stuff, and her husband was laughing, but he was laughing with tears in his eyes. And it's very hard for them to get rid of their stuff emotionally. So we'll go over to Ken. Now, Ken swims in these waters all the time. And you talked about sensitivity in hiring people. So what What's your take on this? Why do you think it's so hard? You've seen this process over and over again.
Yeah, and it's a very emotional situation. This is their life. I mean, in many cases, they've lived in these homes 50, 60 years, and whether they're downsizing or moving to assisted living or moving to Florida, what have you, it's sort of the realization of the final stage. You know, they've raised their children here. They've gone to churches and synagogues here. It's their life. And now you're leaving it and you're moving on. So I think that's the most emotional part of it. It's change. It's something. It's going away from something they're used to. And there's some uncertainty in it. And again, we do see it every day.
Duke University actually did a study. It was fascinating. It was called the Attachment Study. And it was that how we get attached to certain things. And so organizers, people who really walk you through, or even people who work with hoarders, you'll see it on the television shows and everything, they say, oh, keep something. You know, you have 5,000 Pez dispensers, pick one and keep it. From your experience, just on the average day of your professional life, do you have any advice for people in getting over this barrier of getting rid of stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what you said. There's no reason to keep every Mother's Day card that your kids have sent you, but keep four or five. Don't keep every report card that they have. Keep a couple. Pictures now can obviously be put on thumb drives and CDs where you could get rid of boxes and boxes of photo albums. Pick out the good ones and put them on a CD. You know, you still have the memories. They're just in a different form. And again, that's very hard for people.
Yeah, I have a rare situation, and there may be, and I'm bringing this up because there are probably people listening with this. My husband and his sister both have what I call the disposal personality. They will get rid of anything at any time. They have no need for anything, and I've never seen anything like it. Open up drawers, take a bag, everything goes in. Well, this might be valuable. No, I don't want it. Now, I have seen couples with those two issues where he, it's usually him, but in our family's case, it's gender neutral, could get rid of anything, they don't care, and usually the wife wants to keep this or that. Not always. I have a couple of clients the other way around. Do you see that, and do you ever see fights or disagreements while you're there getting rid of stuff?
Every day. It just seems that every couple, whether it be the husband who wants to keep or the wife who wants to keep, they seem to disagree on what they should keep and what they should throw away. And you're right. There's someone who just wants to get rid of everything, who doesn't see a need for it, and there's usually someone else who has a sentimental attachment to things or perhaps will still need it at some point. Maybe the kids will need it, that type of thing. But usually there is a situation where you do have competing opinions as to what should go and what should not go. And we do see that every day for sure.
And how it gets resolved.
Well, first of all, you know, we like to prepare them and tell them, have your conversations before we get there, okay? So, again,
it's going to cost you if you don't.
Yes, exactly. And usually they have, they find some means, some mechanisms to compromise. But you're right. It's usually hardcore one way and hardcore the other way. Someone wants to keep and someone wants to throw away. But just the fact that they've called us, they've made that first step, and they know that things have to go. So, but, you know, there will be times where someone will schedule us and then say, you know what, I spoke to my husband and we need to cancel, or we need to wait a couple months, or we need to put this off for a while. So that does happen too.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that was being mentioned yesterday, and I think you'd agree, is the worst thing you can do is last minute. Sometimes, there's a great Buddhist saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And sometimes you keep things for years and years and years, and then something happens, like there's a flood, or God forbid, a fire. Or you move, you do move, and you must get rid of everything. So I just request everybody to do things as calmly and early as possible so that you don't make mistakes. That's really
exactly.
important thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
we get,
you mentioned something. Go ahead.
I say the last week of the month is always very, very busy because people are either leaving their apartments or moving, and that tends to be a big week. And we get so many calls where people say, I'm closing tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Can you come over and help me? Well, that's a little tough to do. So definitely planning ahead is key.
You know, this is interesting because this is not a question I thought to ask until this minute. Is your business seasonal? Should people realize that there are certain times of the year that they may have to wait and they'll be in trouble if they wait? Do you have also a seasonal business?
Well, it's seasonal from the standpoint of we run the same way, I would say, realty companies, realtors operate. You know, very busy in the summer trying to get the kids in before school, so a lot of people are moving. And that seems to be a hot time. A little slower around the holidays. People aren't thinking about moving or about cleaning out their homes and so on. But, you know, there are situations with older people where it is a year-round business. But I would say that between April and October is the busiest time. But
beware of that, folks. If you need junk removal during that period, book it early. We're going to come back for our next segment to the thing that most of you may have on your mind right now, which is mom and dad. No, the kids don't want it, and in this case, you're the kids. We'll be back.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Time runs away, huh?
Yeah, going good.
So we're on the third segment, and this time the only reason we were talking before was we didn't know if you were ready. So when you're ready, you tell us, okay?
Oh, okay.
We could
sure.
for yes, yes. Stuart's going to tell us when we need it. 10 seconds feels like a million seconds when you can't talk, but it's only 10
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah, no, I'm ready when you are, Sue.
We are ready now. We're ready now. We're going to be quiet. Okay.
Once again, this is Adrienne Berg,
and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, one of the only, so far the only, but I always say one because there may be another, syndicated radio shows in the United States on successful aging, or aging in general, even unsuccessful aging. And now we are heard in Britain. So we're so thrilled about all of this. And we have with us today Ken Fernando. He is the CFO, the founder of Joe Junk. And he's talking to us about a topic that you probably wouldn't hear about any other place, and that is how to get rid of your stuff. And yet it may be one of the topics in your life looming so large that it takes up a lot of your time, energy, and thoughts. Now, before we do anything, let me get a little bit of housekeeping going here. We have a website that you should know about, and that website is generationboldradio.com, generationboldradio.com. We have archived on it almost all of the 4 or 5 years of our past shows. We have a blog there. We've got information on books that we think are very interesting for folks. But most importantly, we have a little section called Ask Adrienne. Now, you can ask me a question, that's fine. But more than that, you can tell me what you would like to hear about on this show, because it is your show, and the reason it's been going on so long is you tell me, and we deliver to you the people and the topics of interest to you. Sometimes it's an individual that you would like to have on, so please let us know about that as well. We've had celebrities, many authors, journalists, and so on. Let us know. It's generationboldradio.com. So, Ken, while I'm telling everybody about my website, let's talk about your website. if people in the new, the Northeast and New Jersey area want to find you, how can they? And if people want to get more information in general, where would you send them for learning more about Joe Junk, the company?
Well, sure. They can reach us two ways. They can reach us at 1-855-JoeJunk.com or simply JoeJunk.com. We have all our information on our website as far as pricing, as far as what we take, what we don't take. And certainly they can give me a call at 1-855-JoeJunk. That's 1-855-563-5865 if they have any further questions after reading the website.
Yep, and so and every Wednesday we do post the show and the contact information for our guests. So you'll be, if you didn't have a pencil and paper, if you are a New Jersey boy, you won't remember, you won't forget the name Joe Junk. It's a great corporate name, and you could Google that too, and it'll all come right up.
Absolutely.
By the way, competition. Before we get into the heartfelt issue of your mom and dad stuff, does it pay really to have a lot of folks come in your home and give an estimate? How different in price is this? Is this a real wide margin kind of thing where, like, I'm looking at kitchen cabinets and I can't believe the differences? Or it's within pennies, everybody's more or less the same? You explained to us in an earlier segment that it's mostly charged by volume.
Right. Well, as far as pricing goes, there is a variation. But what I think that your listeners need to look at mostly is reputation. You know, as you said, we're going to be in their homes. You want to feel safe. You want to feel that the company that's in your home is insured, it's bonded, it's, and in this case, approved by the DEP to take the stuff that they're taking. I always encourage my customers, people ask me that same question, why are you better than the next company? And I say, read my Yelp reviews. Let my customers do the talking, because I think in a business like this where prices do vary somewhat but not greatly, and pretty much everyone uses the same truck, the same 15-cubic-yard truck, I think everything is customer service. And I think our customer service is second to none. And as I said, you know, we talk to our guys about the sensitivity of the move. We talk to the guys about being courteous and polite. We talk to the guys about this being such an emotional time for these people, and I think that comes across. And like I said, I always encourage people to read the Yelp reviews, because that'll tell them more than I can tell them. But as far as pricing and so on, it's very close.
Very close. All right, that's important to know. So the next the issue of sensitivity, we may have used that word 8 times already because it's true. I'll tell you a funny story before we delve into this. A friend of mine was complaining to me. She has 3 sets of china, and they're very, very valuable to her in her mind. And she has 8 children and 9 grandchildren, I think more. Nobody wants the china. So she says to me, this is terrible. The kids don't want it. What am I going to do? And then a few minutes later, she's saying to me that she has to take care of her mom's stuff. And I said, what are you going to do with it? She says, I'm throwing it all out. So she didn't see that when she was a child, she didn't want to be burdened with anything of her kids. But when she was the mother, she wanted them all to take everything and love it to their homes and use it and fulfill her dream that this was important china. So we're all like that. This is not, you know, atypical. And I know that you do move for... Sometimes you're asked by people who are not the owners, their kids or even grandkids. What's the difference there? What should the older adult child know about sensitivity here?
Well, you're exactly right. Most of our clients are actually children. I'll call them kids, but they're now in their 50s and 60s, and they are helping their parents move out, and they have to realize exactly what you said, that what's may not have sentimental value to them does have sentimental value to their parents, okay? And they have to realize that. But again, there's a borderline there, because you either are downsizing, you're moving to a smaller location, an apartment, assisted living, and this stuff has to be done. You know, we had a client just yesterday, a woman in her 50s who was helping her parents, and she came out crying, and she said, I have to go. She said, this is so much more emotional than I thought. I can't believe what it's doing to my parents. And at that point, she did understand what it was doing to the parents, but it's a situation where, again, you have to reach some compromise and say, look, maybe we could keep a few of these things, but there's really no value to them and there's really no use for them. And it all goes along with the whole aspect of you're taking away a piece of their life. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And it's realizing that this is probably the final chapter. This is probably their last move. This is probably the last time they'll see these items. And its effects are devastating sometimes.
Yeah, I have a couple of suggestions for the listeners. There's a wonderful book that should be read a little bit more often, I think. It's called How to Say It to Seniors. And it's by a male nurse, and he's very it's important to him that people speak to the guys, because usually they don't. They just don't think that men have any attachments to stuff. So there's usually all these studies and everything is for women. And women do outlive their husbands a lot, so a lot of the moves are women understood. But his name is Soleil, and it's on Amazon. It's called How to Say It to Seniors. So it does help a lot in talking to people. But the second thing is, know your parent as a person. This is not so easy, because even if you're 80 years old and your parent is 107, and we actually had that. We had a 78-year-old inheriting money, and we asked him whether or not it was from his brother. He said, no, my dad died, and his father was 107. So it doesn't matter. You're still the child. That's a true story. You're still the child. So you see the person as your parent. So you think they're strong. And you know, and everything, and you don't want to see them as having weaknesses. Know who they are. Try a little bit to step back and see them as a person. Quick story: when Stu, my husband's dad, went to assisted living, he didn't want anything. He took his wife's picture and he was out the door. And easy. When my mom moved from a home to an apartment, it wasn't assisted living, but it was a tiny apartment, we got a decorator for her. Because she was so emotional about it. She had things she loved so much that it had to fit in. And so we worked on getting it fit in, and two of those things are in my house to this day. Don't ask me what I'm going to do with them. My friend, who's also a decorator, looked at those things and she said, oh, I know that furniture. I call one mom and I call the other pop. That furniture she called mom and pop. This is the kind of things that you drag around with you for sentimental reasons. When
Absolutely.
We come back, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and we're going to talk about one aspect of moving your junk that very few people talk about, and that is when they move in to a new place, and it's supposed to be broom clean, and boy, it's not, or you're getting a great deal on a piece of real estate because it's a foreclosure, and you walk in there, and oh my goodness, what can you do about that, and how can companies like Joe Junk help you when it's really somebody else's stuff you have to get rid of? We'll be right back.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we're going to talk now about the charity stuff of it. You'll see how I get into that, okay?
About donating and so on.
Is this our last segment, Stu? Okay, so since this is our last segment, I'd like to know if there's anything else that you want to cover that we missed.
Let's see. You'd said you might be talking about hoarding, so I had some information on that. I don't know
Yes. If
you wanted to get into that.
No, that's good. I'm getting into that through this.
Because actually, you know, we don't get a lot of calls from people who moved into a place and said, oh, it wasn't as clean as it was supposed to be. You know, that might be more of a cleaning service that they call. But
well,
I can address some of that, too.
Okay, let me just tell you how I'm going to approach this. I'm approaching it for the donation part.
Okay.
A lot of people move into places that are already furnished, like in Florida, and
mm-hmm.
they think it's great. And they even paid for the furniture. But then they hate it. And I was going to get into the donation potential of what you do.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then you
sure.
can tell me the same things. But I do want to do the hoarding too. We'll have time for both. Okay.
Yeah. No problem. Yep.
We're ready, Sue.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. This time we'll do our business very quickly. Please go to generationboldradio.com. I know a lot of you just go to Generation Bold. It's generationboldradio.com, where you can listen to all our past shows, where you can read some books of interest, and follow our blog. Now, my big blog is Aging for Beginners. That is a big blog published by Bottom Line Personal, the largest newsletter company in the U.S. right now. And I'm their blogger on aging. So if you just Google Aging for Beginners or Bottom Line Personal with my name, Adrienne Berg, it'll come right up. And Joe Junk is with us. That is the corporate name for Ken Fernando, a CFO and founder of the company. And before we dive in, Joe, where can they find you? And Ken, I should say, where can we find you?
Again, we can find us at joejunk.com or 1-855-JoeJunk.com. And either way, we'll get you to our website.
So that's pretty easy to remember. Okay, we were talking about something that if our listeners have not moved yet, they won't know what we're talking about. And if they have moved, they're going to say, oh, I wish I knew. And that is, many, many condos in Florida, in Phoenix, and all the places that have the big active adult communities, some assisted livings, but it happens more with the new moves to adult living residences. You buy the furniture. It's all there. You pay for it, actually. And you think it's just great. And you get there, and you hate it. Now you've got new good stuff. Before you had old stuff. Now you have new good stuff. And nobody wants that either because everybody is selling it in the area. There's just no market. So when they call someone like you, they really feel bad about it. But you can make them feel a little better because there's donation potential. Explain exactly how somebody in your business who is a true professional can help them with the donation side of this.
Sure. Well, in particular, we donate to two organizations, Habitat for Humanity and the Lupus Foundation. And both of those organizations have what they call restores. So they will take the items that we donate to them and they will resell them. And they pretty much take everything. There's not too much, you know, that they won't take as long as it's in saleable condition. And by the way, when we do donate, we will get our customers the tax-deductible receipt made out in their name. So they will get a tax deduction for the donation. But as far as furniture, household goods, that type of thing, both of those organizations will take pretty much everything as long as it's in good sellable condition and resell it in their stores. So from that respect, we can help them.
Yeah, let me remind you, in some areas they're picky, so they'll come and you wait, and then they don't take it. With a removal organization, they'll bring it over, and they'll take it. And if there's a few pieces that they wouldn't have taken from you, it would still be sitting in your garage or your living room, then the removal service will get rid of it for you. So it's convenient, extremely convenient. So let's talk about something that's very inconvenient, and that is true hoarding. When you were working with me, you were on the telephone because you actually had somebody who was under court order to get rid of their stuff. It was that toxic. If we find that there are hoarders, and some people become hoarders as they get older, or they get labeled so when they weren't when they were younger, what's the scoop there? I mean, what can you do? There are TV shows, which I don't like. I feel they're exploitive, but there are TV shows at least that brought up this issue in many people's lives.
Yeah, well, typically it's not the hoarder who calls us. Typically it's a family member, a relative, it's a neighbor, someone who sees that this person needs help, and obviously the hoarder doesn't always realize it themselves. So it's a tough situation. It's definitely a psychological disorder. I always insist that the hoarder not be there on the day that we're working because it's so emotional. The good news is that somebody realized that this person needs help, and somebody got the ball rolling. I always tell that person that they really have to prepare the hoarder for what's going to happen, because the house is basically going to be cleaned out. All these things that they had such an emotional attachment to are not going to be there, and they have to be prepared for how that's going to affect this person after the fact. So, again, the good news is that somebody is helping them, but you really have to look after the person after the stuff is gone, because they'll either start to reaccumulate the items or maybe get more into a depression, anxiety type of situation. So it's a very tough situation, and it's beyond just removing the junk. It's a psychological situation.
Have you ever had the experience, and I don't know the answer, and the answer may be no, where there's somebody from the county or the Department of the Aging that has intervened in this? I know you had a court order situation where they've got to do it, and there's really been a big struggle.
Absolutely. In the situation that we spoke of, this person took their hoarding outside, which usually doesn't happen, but this person's yard was littered with junk. And obviously the neighbors eventually called the health department. The health department got a court order, which in the case that I'm involved with now, the hoarder did not respond to. They got a bench warrant, which the hoarder did not respond to. And so now there's a court order that we were given. And by the way, we will have a police escort to do this job, to clean out their yard. And if the person appears, comes outside of their house or whatever, they're going to be arrested. Now, you know, that's an extreme case, and most of the hoarding takes place inside that we see. But we do get calls, say, in an apartment house from neighbors where there's a smell emanating from the property, and the health department has to go over. But, yeah, in those extreme cases where maybe a relative is not living close by, or maybe they have no relatives and so on, there will be situations where the health department gets us involved, and the apartment house, what have you, has to be cleaned out for sure. So,
well, you know, it's not unusual, but I hate to stop our wonderful discussion on a low note. It's not unusual, by the way, that we end our show so quickly that nobody can believe it. But this has been wonderful. And for those of you who need this information, you got it. So get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. What do you think of that?
That was easy.
Very good. That was easy.
Exactly like you said. It went fast, and there was so much more you said you thought you could have said, you know.
Right. Well, it's really very, very good. Everything gets posted on Wednesday. I mean, the show is heard tomorrow night and Sunday morning, depending on the stations.
Okay.
But
where's
those
the closest station to hear?
Oh, it really, the best way to hear it here is on the app. There's a free app, which you can just put in your app, in your phone, and it's called BizTalk. And that would be at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to hear it.
10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, BizTalk. And you
said
there's a
website,
too?
Probably Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah, and
then
you said
there's a website?
Yeah, generationboldradio.com.
Okay.
Generation Bold.
And that'll be posted there.
And
gotcha.
Not only will it be posted, but how to get to it live is also there. You could listen live also. GenerationBoldRadio.com.
10 a.m.
And,
gotcha.
Yeah. No. And good. So Stuart's going to go process the show right now so he can get out of Dodge. And we'll talk more because I'm accumulating stuff, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
But you can take mattresses, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay. Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.